Barajas puts up a three. It's short. It's over. It's a Memphis win on the road. Six straight wins for the Tigers over Wichita State. And another terrific data point on this NCAA tournament resume for Penny Hardaway's Memphis Tigers.
I don't know that I agree with the last part of that or not. Dusty Dinason with you here on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94, and Jason Broadfoot will be joining us as well here this morning as we have a busy show for you today. But Wichita State last night, it's kind of, I don't know, it's interesting to say that's another great data point. I don't know what Wichita State's ratings are or whatever as far as that's concerned, but they are 14-13-7-8 in the American Athletic Conference, a conference that's not as good this year as it's been in the past. So I'm not sure. We'll find out if that's truly a good data point for Memphis to make it to the NCAA tournament. They're 21-7 overall, 11-4 in the conference. I think just if they keep winning, they shouldn't have to worry at least about making the tournament. But a good data point beating Wichita State, I guess, if you want to call it that. Wichita State again falling 83-78. It was a tight game really all the way through, and then Memphis was able to hit some free throws there in the final 8 seconds from Kendrick Davis to get the 5-point lead and put it on ice, and Wichita State didn't have a chance there at the end after getting down 5 with 8 seconds left. So, but they fought the whole night. They stayed right there with them, but in the end it was an 83-78 win for Memphis. Again, the Shockers now under 500 in American Athletic Conference play at 7-8 as they were led by James Rojas with 19 points, also 15 for Craig Porter Jr. and Jaron Pierre Jr. and Jaquan Walton had 14 as well. Again, Wichita State, this has been an up and down season for them for sure. So they're trying to get back on track. The only way they can make the tournament is if they make a run through the American Athletic Conference and win the whole thing. So that's the situation for Wichita State. So again, do you think that's an outstanding data point for Memphis to make the tournament to win against Wichita State?
No.
That's like the end of the cut. He's like, and another great data point for Wichita State or for Memphis to make the tournament. I'm like, I don't know.
The loss would have been more damaging than the win being more instrumental in getting them there.
I think sometimes maybe people get caught up in that too.
Right,
they're like,
right.
Oh, if they lose this game, they're hurting. If they win it, they're going to be good. It's going to improve them. And I'm like, I don't know. Road win, I guess, is always hard, so it's a data point no matter what if you win on the road. So Memphis beats Wichita State last night. We'll have more on college hoops coming up as KU will be back in action this weekend as they're taking on West Virginia in Lawrence, and then K-State will be on the road at Oklahoma State. We'll preview both of those games. Also, we have a lot of local sports information to cover as state wrestling for the boys starts today. It ended yesterday for the girls. We do have a state champion from the North Central Activities Association to tell you about on the girls' side. And it is confirmed, Patrick Mahomes listens to the Sports Ticket. He was tired of our talk yesterday about him not supporting an individual. We'll hear more about that coming up later in the Sports Ticket as well. Okay, he probably doesn't listen to our show, but
I think he does.
I'm going to say he does.
It's better to believe
he does. It just proved it yesterday.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that coming up as well. I was going to kind of update on the latest on the Brandon Miller situation, but I don't really know if there's anything. There's Doug Gottlieb apparently said some stuff yesterday on the Herd that kind of can breaks it down a little bit as to why he's still playing. I did not have time to listen to that.
Yeah.
My cousin sent me that, I think, probably for the purpose of he listened to our show and was going to say, hey, here's some update on that. And I just didn't have time to listen to it.
But
I was getting stuff ready for the SportsCast either, Sports Ticket. So if you want to find out about Brandon Miller, we touched on it briefly yesterday. He was however involved in a murder down there. And it's I can't. I don't have the information, so I'm not going to go in deep on it. So
right.
You can find out. You can do a Google search for Brandon Miller.
Brandon Miller, Alabama basketball.
Yeah.
And it'll get you right there.
So, that's all coming up here on the Sports Ticket. But, again, we're going to start with local sports because there's a lot of it. And congratulations to Minneapolis junior Grace Johns, who won a state championship yesterday for the Lady Lions. She went 3-0 on Wednesday to get into the championship match yesterday at 170 pounds there in Solana, the 4-1A girls state wrestling tournament. And she ended up winning it it over Atavia Kane, whom she lost to in the regional championship. She came back and kind of avenged that loss with a win by a fall in 3:29 to take the gold there yesterday in Solana. She finishes the year with a record of 36-2. A big deal there for Minneapolis and for the North Central Activities Association, a state champion there. A lot of those state champs were coming from even some of the bigger schools or, you know, out west. There was a lot of success with those wrestlers as well. But a great finish for Grace Johns from Minneapolis to win a state championship.
Always a big deal to say state champion. I mean, not very many people can say that with their name. So
you can read the whole story about all of her matches at ncksports.com. I don't have time to go over all that, but we do congratulate Grace Johns from Minneapolis, a state champion, 170 pounds in the girls' side at state wrestling. Again, we're going to preview high school hoops as well. Substate action started last night. We'll give you a recap of that. But we want to start this next part of the show with the boys' state wrestling. We have 9 area state qualifiers. The girls' state tournament coming to a close Thursday. The boys right on the mats today. 3-2-1-A at Hayes this morning. We're going to have a report shortly after 10 o'clock here, so I'm going to try to book through the sports ticket and not talk a whole lot today, but we can go up until 10 o'clock anyway, and then we'll roll right into our wrestling reports here after the news at 10 o'clock here this morning. But we do have, again, 9 area wrestlers. That's headlined by Brogan Monty from Beloit. He's number one in the state at 106 pounds heading into this tournament with a record of 37-0, and just has had an outstanding season. Obviously, the regional champion. He was the Beloit Invitational champion. He was a champion of every tournament they went to this year, but obviously those two things go to the top of the list as far as his achievements so far, and he's looking to add to that with the state championship coming up through today and then tomorrow when things finish up. Again, he comes in at 37-0. Also for Beloit, Brody Boudreau, 14-12 at 285 pounds and headed to state. And Beloit coach Andy Nemchek gave some thoughts on his wrestlers as they get ready for the state tournament here today and this weekend.
Well, I certainly like our chances, that's for sure. Brogan, of course, is ranked number one in 3-2-1-A, and he's wrestled a lot throughout his career. He's wrestled big tournaments. He wrestles in the Tulsa tournament. He wrestles in Iowa and during the summer and things like that. So it's comforting to know that he's stepping into this tournament, and it's, even though it's big, he's been there before. And he knows the deal, and he's focused, and he knows what he wants. So pleased with his attitude and his work ethic. With Brody, you know, it's going to be a tough first round, but so pleased with the way Brody has come on here in the last month of the season. He's really gained a lot of confidence, and he's learned how to wrestle at the heavyweight level, even being a light heavyweight.
So, yeah, Brogan Monty and Brody Boudreau today. I don't want to say when you have that record that it's ever easy, right? Brogan's put a lot of work in to get to that point, to get to 37-0, but this is where, for a normal wrestler, that pressure is going to start coming on here. Like, you're at state, you're a freshman, you're undefeated, and everything's been going well for you. But like Coach Nemchek just said, like, Brogan's gone on the circuit, man. He's done this before. And so it's like he's a junior or senior going into it based on his experience at big tournaments anyway. So, and I think, you know, Brogan battled a little adversity, I felt like, in that championship match last week. He ended up winning by fall, but the kid from Hill City, I mean, he went tough with him for couple periods, and then he got the pin in the third period. And so, you know, I think maybe he felt that in that match and maybe got it out of the way, right? Like, maybe it's like, I'm going to come in here, we're going to just dominate this weekend. And he could very well do that. You know, he's obviously on track to be 41-0 and be a state champion this year. But I don't want that pressure. But he's dealt with it before. He's good.
And you, like you said, some of these circuits, I mean, they're, you know, these national tournaments, like the coach was talking about, you know, they're wrestling state champions from other states and people that finish top three, top five, or medalists in other states too. So, like I said, you don't want to say it's easier because Kansas is one of the toughest states once you get to the state tournament that you're going to have to deal with. But, man, oh, man, like you said, those guys that go on these national tournaments, they put in a lot of mat time.
Yeah, so Brogan's got an outstanding chance to be a state champion. We're definitely going to follow that. Again, we'll have reports coming up today, and we're going to preview the rest of state wrestling here as well. But just to let you know, we will have reports coming up at 10 o'clock and then each half hour until I have to leave for wrestling. And then we'll have, until I have to leave for basketball tonight. And then we'll have updates through our basketball coverage tonight on Katy Country 94 as well. So stay tuned for all that. Then we'll pick it back up at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning with updates for all the kids that make it today, too. And we're hoping to have a lot of wrestlers coming up tomorrow as well. at the 3-2-1A State Wrestling Tournament Girls Memorial Coliseum in Hayes. Smith Center has five wrestlers at the state tournament this year. Brock Hutchinson has a good group coming in, as he has, again, five. Bentley Montgomery, really the highlight of that class, ranked number one in the state, 150 pounds, a 42-1 record heading in. Also at 144 pounds, senior Alex Wilkinson, number four in the state with a record of 34-8. And their coach, Brock Hutchinson, on those two seniors and the leadership that they've gotten this year, especially from Bentley Montgomery, who's just had an outstanding season.
I'm super proud of Bentley. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I don't know if the kid's ever been in trouble in school. He goes about his business. He's a good student. He's a good kid. And those are the kind of people that you just want around you in your lifetime. And it's going to be a sad day when those guys are done wrestling for you. You know, it's Alex and Bentley have been tremendous leaders this year, and we've had tremendous leadership all year. But, you know, those younger kids see that, and they're like, well, yeah, this is how we do it, and this is how it works. So Bentley's been one of those guys for a long time for us.
So, again, Bentley Montgomery, Alex Wilkinson headed to state there for Smith Center. Also qualifying for the Redmond, Eli Franklin at 215 pounds is 38-6. Number two in the state, Luke Franklin's 34-13. He's number six at 190 pounds. And Carson Montgomery, he was ranked last week, got third at regionals, and then somehow fell out of the rankings. I don't know how that all works, but wrestling, that's tough. I don't know how all that works for wrestling, because you got all the weight classes, and there's six in each class. It's got to be difficult to try to have coaches just say, hey, rank these guys. So Carson's 32-14 coming into state here this weekend. Finally, Osborne and Lakeside each have a state qualifier as well. Freshman Grant Middleton, the first ever Lakeside Knight wrestler, and he is at state at 215 pounds with a 16-11 record, while freshman Caden Schultz is 19-19 at 165 pounds heading into state. Jason Knoll, the coach for Osborne, who coached Grant Middleton during the season as he wrestled for Osborne during the season, but breaks away for Lakeside here during the postseason. He's excited for both of these wrestlers as they've made it to the state tournament here in 2023.
I'm so proud of these two. They came with a lot of heart. I was like, hey, boys, it's going to come down to who wants it more and who's got the bigger heart to get it. So, and they showed a lot of both. I am so excited.
Again, very rightfully excited for his group today. Again, Grant Middleton for Lakeside and Caden Schultz for Osborne. Again, 3-2-1A State Wrestling Tournament underway this morning. Results throughout the day. You can also find links at ncksports.com. For the 3-2-1A and 4-A state wrestling tournaments, we do have some Concordia wrestlers, and I'll probably give periodic updates on how they're doing. There's not as many wrestlers to follow at state as we do for regionals, so I kind of like to chip in a little bit of Concordia there as well, just to let you know how they're doing there in Class 4-A, so stay tuned for that as well. And you can also follow me on Twitter, at Dusty40, for updates. We'll have updates pretty much. I'll probably try to tweet out each match result for our area athletes that are wrestling. Again, nine state qualifiers, 3-2-1A from the area. All right. Anything you want to add about state wrestling? I know you talked with Coach Hutch and Coach Knoll earlier.
Yeah, you know, Smith Center, I used to cover, you know, they were at a lot of the tournaments I used to cover when I was out in Northwest Kansas. And, you know, it's tough just on this highway. You know, if we're Smith Center, go down the road and face Norton and Oberlin, when, you know, not that they have a ton of wrestlers, but the ones that they do have are usually pretty tough. So I've heard that Bentley Montgomery name for the last two or 3 years, and I wish him well again, and I'm sure he'll do well for another year here at the state wrestling tournament.
Yeah, he's good at everything he does. And I like it when a coach says that about who a kid is and who they are, because you get a lot of that. Like, you get all the accolades and you hear about all these kids and they're doing great things, right, as far as athletics are concerned. But you don't really get an inside story until you talk to a coach. And to have Coach Hutchinson's respect like that, I'm going to promise you, doesn't come easy.
Yeah.
And listen, I know Brock.
And that quote came... That wasn't. I didn't lead him into that quote.
I was listening to the whole thing when I got the cut, and it was like, yeah, he just went with it. And when you have that kind of respect from your coach, and you put in the work, and you do all the right things, I mean, obviously you're going to get some good things to come your way. And that's obviously Bentley. And I think Coach Hutch feels that way about most of his team.
Sure.
At this point, we're talking about a senior that's number one in the state, and maybe could finish off a state championship season. Uh-huh. He's definitely the favorite going in here this weekend. So, that's what I like about what I do the most is when I can tell stories about kids that not only they're good on the court or on the mat or on the field or whatever they're doing, you also get kind of an inside look from the coaches at what kind of kids they are and what kind of humans they are, right? Mm-hmm. And if they're doing the right things. And I love playing cuts like that and hearing stories like that about Bentley and all kinds of other guys.
And we see it in all the sports. Basketball, two kids collide with each other, and whoever's up first helps the other one up. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just, you know, it's the same way with the wrestling. Those guys have, you know, even though they're trying to beat each other, they have the most respect for each other as well. So,
State Wrestling starting today again at 10 o'clock. Brogan Monty's going to be on the mat right away for Beloit, so we should have actually a pretty quick result. I would imagine his first round match might go pretty quick. If everything goes the way he wants it to, we might already have a result for Brogan Monty when we come on a little after 10 o'clock this morning with the State Wrestling Tournament. So best of luck to all those wrestlers here today. Again, NCKSSports.com for all the latest as far as state wrestling is concerned. High school postseason started last night for some of the area teams. Not a lot in the immediate area, as Osborne has a first round bye. St. John's Tipton girls had a first round bye. The Lakeside girls are playing tonight because they've moved those games with a doubleheader this evening that we're going to have on Katy Country 94. But let's get you the scores from last night. 1A Division 2, Tascket Substate. Tascket winning over Logan Palco 48-44. They will move on to play the number one seed St. John's Tipton next Thursday. And Northern Valley beat Natoma 43-24. Thunder Ridge beat Stockton 49-30. Those two will play each other in the other semifinal in Tascket next Thursday. St. John's Tipton, Tascket will be the 7:30 game in Northern Valley. Thunder Ridge will be the 6 o'clock game. That's a heck of a trip for both of those schools to be taken to play a substate basketball. I'm not going to get started on that, though. We could go for the whole day on that. 1A Division 1, Washington County Substate. Frankfort on the girls' side, beating Blue Valley 70-35. Clifton Clyde over Washington County 65-52. They'll play each other in the semis next Thursday. You're probably asking, why are you giving updates on Twin Valley League schools? Well, because the bottom or the top of that bracket actually is all Northern Plains League schools. Mm-hmm. Osborne's the number one seed, and they will face the winner of Rock Hills against Lakeside tonight. Again, we'll have more on that coming up. Sylvan Lucas girls, a 51-15 win over Solomon in the first round of the 1A Division 1 Gossel Substate. Maggie Labrador with 22. Keely Kenobi had 14. Sylvan Lucas will face Rural Vista next Thursday in the semis, and Gossel Rural Vista eliminated Lincoln and finished their season. The Lady Leopards are done there. The 55-23 loss to the Lady Heat on Thursday. 1A Division 2 Substate. Southern Cloud girls are on to the semifinals, a 39-35 win over St. Xavier in Junction City there. St. X only had like 6 or 7 games on their record because they play mostly those Christian Association schools, and they can only count the games that they play against Acacia schools, so they didn't have a lofty record, but it was a better percentage than Southern Cloud going into, and so they had to play that game in Junction City. Southern Cloud won it by 4. They will move on to play Central Christian in Burton next Thursday. Pike Valley saw their season come to a close with a loss to Axtell last night, 46-30. As well, I was watching to extend in the Northern Plains League. I was watching Chase play Otis Bison, and Chase was up 27-13 late in the third quarter. Otis Bison came back to tie it at 36. A 14-point lead late third. Chase somehow escaped with a 39-38 win. Yeah. They fouled Otis Bison with 1:07 on the clock, a 38-38 tie.
Yeah.
And the girl for Otis missed both of them, and then Chase made a free throw, I believe. Or no, they were up 39-38, and then they fouled. So she missed both of them because she had a chance to put it to overtime if she made at least one of them. And she missed both of them. Chase got the rebound, got a timeout, and then the inbound, Otis couldn't foul him, and Otis Bison, and the game was
funny
over.
How a game of momentum and runs, like you said, that game, they only had 13 points going into the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden, score, what, 23 in the fourth?
So Chase is moving on. I don't have it pulled up. We don't cover them in the immediate area. You can find all the brackets again for Substate at NCKSSports.com. Also, regular season finales last night for Concordia. The girls losing to Wamego 61-34. The Wamego boys beat Concordia 63-52. High school hoops tonight, 1A Division 1. Again, Rock Hills Lakeside. We'll preview that. That's coming up on Katy Country 94. Washington County Substate. Also, number 7 seed Frankfort is at number 2 Osborne. We'll have more on that as well. We'll have that game on Z96 point through the lake. And then Washington County, the 6th seed at number 3 seed, Blue Valley Randolph. Clifton Clyde's number 1 seed there in that substate. 1A Division 2 Tescott substate. St. John's Tipton, the number 2 seed, hosting 7 Stockton. 3rd seed Thunder Ridge is hosting number 6 seed Natoma tonight. Stockton and Natoma both winless here this year. So the kind of the bottom two, but there's 4 other fairly good teams in this substate. Northern Valley is the number 1 seed, and number 5 seed Tescott at number 4 Logan Palco tonight. 1A Division 1 Gossel substate. Sylvan Lucas is the 3 seed, and they're hosting in-county rival Lincoln, number 6 seed, here tonight on the boys' side. Southern Cloud boys are the number 1 seed with the first round bye at 8-11 or 9-11. I can't remember what their record is. At the 1A Division II Burton Substate. Another thing I'm not going to talk about. 1A Division II Axtell Substate. Number 3 Pike Valley hosting number 6 Wetmore here tonight. Again, full brackets for Substate at ncksports.com. So it's a busy time. I really do like the way we do this postseason now, though, because 1A plays Thursday, Friday. And you start eliminating some of the teams, right. And then Monday, Tuesday, we can focus on 3A, 2A. It really works for us as media. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we're not worried about who we're going to cover on Monday, Tuesday with all the 1A teams, 2A, and 3A all playing at the same time. Right. So you start weeding teams out, and then you worry about semifinals and finals, which would match up Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I didn't mind not having to work last night, I'll tell you that.
Of course, yeah, well, as far as media goes, not a ton of stations do – like live wrestling, you know, but my only gripe was we could have games tonight and first round of wrestling on the same day. But
well,
know,
and,
I can't schedule,
and on that also
I don't know the answer to that problem either. So
when you have an answer to it and the state won't let you fix the answer to it if you're Lakeside, and won't let you play on Thursday, so your fans and teachers, parents, everybody that might want to go watch their first ever state wrestling qualifier at state today. Yeah. I mean, they can get down there and maybe watch a little bit, and they'd have to come back, though, and maybe see one of Grant Middleton's matches today. Yeah. And then they have to come back. And so, part of that is frustrating. I think the other side of it is, like, you're not probably – I don't know how many 1A schools – like wrestle, right? Like there's not a lot of wrestling in any school.
Right,
that's also part of it too. Mm-hmm. But obviously Lakeside and Osborne are both playing tonight, and they have one representative each down at state here.
Yeah.
So there is an example of, yes, they do cross over and could be an issue. And yeah, we could have had those games last night, but again, I'm just not going to talk about it. Let's just move forward, right? Again, on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com, a doubleheader first round games from the Washington County 1A Division 1 Substate. Tonight's games take place in Downs with the 4-seed Lakeside Knights hosting number 5 Rock Hills Grizzlies. That's the seed for both teams in both games. The girls' contest, Rock Hills is 10-10 on the season, Lakeside 15-6. Lady Knights beat the Lady Grizzlies 60-46 February 3rd in the first meeting. I remember doing that game. Lauren Welchel had 27 points and 19 rebounds in that game. Just an outstanding game, but just not enough from the others. And Tata Miller stepped up big as a role player for Lakeside and was in double figures for the first time in her career. And you're going to hear Coach Meisner talk about that a little bit here in a bit. But Scott Germark, the coach of the Lakeside Knights, on the focus from his team here in this girls' game against Rock Hills tonight.
Coach Meisner does such a good job of putting them in the right spots and making sure that we know where the shooters are at. And Welchel's going to get her, so you just try to limit her to what you can. And we have to rebound. I mean, this time of the year, it's the small things that show up as far as finding somebody to box out and diving for loose balls and making sure that we're doing the right reads. But I expect it to be a good, fun, exciting game.
Yeah, well, it was an exciting game the first time around. But again, Lakeside just had other players step up to where Rock Hills had just the one. And Nick Meisner on maybe some possible adjustments here in this game tonight.
They got us pretty good at home about 3.5 weeks ago. You know, we're not the team we were at 6-8 or 6-9 after we lost to them. You know, we might try a couple of different things, but, you know, we know what to expect from them. We watched a lot of film, and we know they got pretty good top three players, and then the role players had big games against us the first time. So we look to kind of keep our momentum going and the defensive intensity and urgency and see if we can kind of throw them out of their game offensively.
Nick Meisner, coach of the Rock Hills Lady Grizzlies. Again, it's win or go home tonight. Lakeside Rock Hills girls are at pregame at 5:50, tip-off at 6 o'clock for that game. And then the boys' game will follow. It was kind of a game there where the Lakeside boys, you know, probably felt comfortable the whole night. They ended up with a 59-50 win the first time they played back on February 3rd. And Lakeside coach Drew Dusky, he gave some keys to winning tonight here this second time around against the Grizzlies here this evening.
We need to be consistent on offense. You know, we're going to have to be able to knock some shots down from the outside against their zone and try to find spaces in the middle. And, you know, we really got to challenge the boys defensively. I don't think we did a very good job defensively in the post against them when we played them at Mankato. And we got to kind of shore up some of those things on the defensive end, and hopefully we can come out with a win.
Yeah, Lakeside definitely going to be favored tonight. Again, they come in with a record of 11-10. Rock Hills is 7-12 here this season. I tell you, the 7-12 record, is actually pretty good for what Rock Hills has, and Coach Duffy's done a really good job with that group this year, and he knows that coming into tonight, this rematch with Lakeside, it'll be tough, but he's hoping to do some things that might change around the end result this time.
It's a chess match, and I'm sure Coach Desky, he's watching film from our last few games and kind of seeing what we've not done well and maybe some things that we did well the first time we played against them. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. We might throw in a few different things and a few different looks and just do our best to put our guys in the best situations possible to hopefully go out and get a sub-state win.
Zach Duffy from Rock Hills. It's always interesting when you get in a game like this because, like I said, and you've actually seen Rock Hills last two games, mm-hmm. but when they played Lakeside, they played really well that night, right?
Yeah.
And so, but they put in a fight to get to 7-12, right? Like, mm-hmm. this team, you know, at the beginning of the year, would you have said that they'd have seven wins? I don't know if you would or not, but
they
fought hard and put in the work. But it's always interesting when you get to this time of year and you kind of see it fall off just a little bit, especially when you're playing really good teams, right? Like,
yeah.
the focus probably doesn't stay there because it's been a long year. You've had to grind so hard just to get the seven wins.
Right, and they normally play six guys,
yeah.
and that sixth isn't, like, playing the whole game either. So, yeah, they might be wearing out a little bit, and so they need to, you know, find that extra energy to get through a sub-state and get a sub-state win. But, you know, in a one game situation, you know, you start hitting some shots, you stick around for a little while, things start to get a little weird sometimes.
Absolutely.
And anything can happen.
Well, I mean, I saw it up in Mankato one year when Osborne boys were just running through everybody, and then semifinals of regionals, this was back before they split it back up,
mm-hmm.
they get beat by Logan Palco just because they couldn't make a shot, and they were dominant. Like, everybody around here is like, who in the state can compete with Osborne, let alone try to beat them, right?
Right.
And just that night, that's all it took. That was the COVID year, and Stockton ended up just beating Logan Palco very badly in the regional championship and ended up making it to state with like nine losses. But then I think they made it into the Final Four, and then we know how that ended
mm-hmm.
in 2020. It got cut off. But it is. All it takes is one night. And Lakeside's one of those teams that's been just up and down with consistency of getting shots to go down. And I think they really execute well what Coach Dusky wants them to do, but there have been nights where the shot just is not falling for them, and it's hurt them. So that's what Rock Hills is hoping will happen tonight for Lakeside. Obviously, Lakeside's hoping that they can shoot like they have been here recently. They played fairly well recently and have been able to do some good things offensively. So I'm looking forward to those games tonight on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com. Pregame 5:50 for the girls, tip off 6 o'clock, and the boys' game will follow. Those times are firm because this is the postseason. There's no JV games that we have to wait on or anything like that, so we will have pregame 5:50 tip off at 6 o'clock tonight. Jason will be in Osborne tonight with the Bulldogs and Frankfort Wildcats on the boys' side. Osborne's number two seed, at 18-2. Frankfort is the number seven seed at 3-17 in that Washington County sub-state. Osborne opening a postseason play here this evening. And I think anybody that listens to us or has paid attention to high school sports within the last 20 years knows that if there's a Twin Valley League team that you're playing and they're 3-17, don't care about the record. Jamie Walters reiterates that, the head coach of the Bulldogs.
3-17, but if we switched leagues, you know, it might be us on that. They're a good team. They're really young. They play, I think, two or three freshmen and two or three sophomores, they're starters. But they're very capable. They play pretty good defense. They've got a couple shooters that can really shoot it in the league. The schedule they play, they've played better teams than what probably we are.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're playing Clifton Clyde, they're playing Hanovers, they're playing all those Axtells. I mean, they're playing those Centralias. Like, I don't know what all those teams' records are this year, but year in, year out, that is, I would say, north of I-70, the toughest league in 1A.
Right.
And south of I-70, it's probably the Central Prairie League. In my mind, maybe I'm wrong, but the Twin Valley League, anytime you're playing teams up there and you look at their records, you're doing yourself a disservice by thinking that, oh, they're just 3-17, we're going to roll through them. Osborne's had some games, too, this year where offensively it's not always been clicking for them, and so they're going to have to be focused and ready to go tonight in this game.
They're going to need all four quarters. You know, it's a cliche, but, you know, you gotta, especially offensively, like you said, just contribute all four quarters. They don't have to be you know, anything spectacular, but just make sure you don't have that 5-6 minute stretch where you let a team into the game. And I, you know, we could talk about matchups and records and all that stuff, but I love the one game elimination part of it. I mean, it's bittersweet because, you know, it's coming to an end, but, you know, does a good free throw shooting team struggle for some reason and shoot 50% for whatever reason? Does a bad free throw shooting team, for whatever reason, shoot 75% in a one-game deal? And that's what it's going to come down to. Like you said, the records could be a little bit misleading. Frankfurt, you know, they've scored some points against some decent opponents.
I looked at their schedule when I was talking to Coach Walters earlier this week. They've had a lot of close games this year, too. Mm-hmm. Like, not... I don't think as many recently,
right?
But you know, in the middle to early year, they're playing close games, and you know, any team that's in those games and then starts to figure it out, maybe at the end might be able to get you.
Yep. Yeah. So it's a, you know, obviously you kind of feel Osborne should move
Osborne's
on.
The favorite,
right?
Like,
right.
I don't think we're changing anything we would predict would happen tonight, but you just got to be on guard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that time of year, and you know, all these coaches know it, and it's just a matter of getting all the kids on board. And yeah, I expect Osborne to do what they need to do, but you just never know.
Yep, Osborne Frankfurt tonight, as Jason will have the call again. Pregame at 5:50, tip off at 6:00. They move that up. If you have the bracket from earlier this week, like on Monday, throw it away. You can get there an hour late, and game might be out of control by then if you show up at 7. So 6:00 start time tonight. That's one thing that, like Wade said on Tuesday too. Like, we do all these games and we love to cover them for you, but get out and support your kids and your teams, especially right now. This is the time that, you know, Wade says when they're losing, they need you. But definitely right now, like, this is postseason. It's win or go home, or win or stay home, for some of these teams that are hosting these first round games. So get out. It's your last chance for these 1A schools to see them on their home floor if you're lucky enough to have a home game. So go out tonight and get into Downs or Osborne or Beloit St. John's High School with the Blue Jays here tonight. Get out and support these teams that are playing here this evening. It's your final chance to see them on their home floor. If they had a good enough seed, they've earned that right to be at home, and go congratulate them on it. Get out to the games. Again, we will have the coverage, though. If you can't make it, we love being there and being able to see all these games and tell these stories. So, again, High School Hoops tonight on Katy Country 94 and Z96.3 The Lake. All right, we shift our attention now to college hoops. As you heard earlier here on the Sports Ticket, the Wichita State men won last night, and then we move forward now with Big 12 hoops this weekend. The KU men are back on the court Saturday hosting West Virginia. Third-ranked Jayhawks 23-5. They're 11-4 in the Big 12. West Virginia 16-12 and 5-10. KU did win the first meeting in Morgantown, but that was way back on January 7th, 76-62. I think both teams are different. I think both teams are definitely better right now. KU's number three in the country for a reason, playing really good basketball, and it's wild to me that it's aggravating to me as a K-State fan. I shouldn't say wild, but that we were talking so much, and Brian Haney talked with Wade yesterday about this, about, you know, 12-6 probably good enough for a tie to win this conference. 13-5 might win it outright. Didn't expect anybody to really go 13-5 just off out of the gate, right, and just be like, yeah, this team's gonna do it. Well, here's KU 11-4.
Right.
And favorites in the rest of their games.
Yeah.
Could finish 14-4 right, and win it outright, and everybody's like, again?
Yep.
With this?
Uh-huh.
They just won a national championship. Again with this? Come on.
You know, but it was annoying when they were in the Big 8. I was a Nebraska fan. And
yeah, just, exactly. Yeah. Again? Then it went on steroids when Roy Williams. Like, how? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's baffling how you hated KU and they were so good when Roy Williams was there. But they would have that down year, right, where, like Wade's mentioned before, they were an 8 seed and had to play Duke, a 1 seed in the tournament. They've never had that with Bill Self as their coach.
Right.
And it drives me and every other fan base other than Duke or North Carolina, Kentucky, other than the other Blue Bloods. It drives you nuts. And here we are sitting with KU. If they beat West Virginia on Saturday, just unreal driver's seat position for KU in this conference race. Bill Self says, though, that West Virginia will be looking for a big win to add to their resume because they are still fighting for an NCAA tournament berth.
They're very capable, and you guys know that. What are they, 26, 25, whatever they are in the net? They still need probably to get a couple more wins to solidify some stuff, and this would be a huge, huge game for them, as is going to be a huge game for us. So I think it'll be a pretty exciting Saturday.
Bill Self, coach of the Jayhawks there. Again, KU and West Virginia tomorrow as the Jayhawks will play at 3 o'clock on Z96.3 to the Lake. We'll have pregame coverage at 2:30 tomorrow as well. So I'm predicting KU to win that game, and then they'll have a couple games left, and we'll see how the regular season finishes out. KU obviously in the best position right now to win the Big 12 championship. I'll go over the standings here momentarily when we go over the other games that are going on, but first we want to talk about K-State, who's coming up tomorrow as well. They're number 14 team in the country on the road at Oklahoma State. Wildcats 21-7 and 9-6 in the Big 12, kind of righted the ship after they had lost some road games there and really weren't looking as crisp as they did early in the conference season when they started 4-0. They beat Oklahoma State in January 65-57 at Bramlage Coliseum to get off to that 4-0 start. Then they lost to TCU, and then things kind of just went up and down from that point. For KU. They did beat KU, obviously, during that stretch after they had started 4-0. But, you know, it's a situation where K-State had to go through some things, but they didn't give up, right? Like, it's not a team that... let's say under the last regime might have been like, we've had to falter here, and you don't have the same energy, you don't have the same mentality, you don't have the same kids in the locker room. And Jerome Tang kind of talked about that, about his group through the ups and downs, and really just believing in each other and never giving up.
Because they are high character guys, because they are really good people, that's what allows them to care, and they've got big hearts. And that's, you know, I told y'all, like last time, we wanted to find guys that we didn't mind losing with. And in losses, you see a lot about guys' character. And when we were losing, when we lost games, we didn't see a lot of negative things, right? We saw guys that were encouraging each other and lifting each other up. And therefore, that's how we knew as a staff that we had to figure out what the solution was for them, because they cared.
And it's interesting to watch this K-State team compared to some of the ones that we've watched in the past, or that I've watched as a fan in the past, because that's what he says there at the end. Don't quit. Don't give up. And you have to have that mentality in your locker room of, okay, we're going through a bad stretch. But if you actually focus on what's going on in your conference right now, every single team has, even KU had a three-game losing streak, mm-hmm. right? Like every mm-hmm. single team has had a stretch where they didn't play to their capability or where they wanted to be. And K-State was in the middle of it, and they've won a couple home games. Obviously, I think it helps getting back home. The one loss to Texas still grinds at me at home, because it's their only home loss this year. And they were up 16 in the first half, or 14, I should say, in the first half, and should have won the game. And so you kind of get a little frustrated about that, but everybody goes through it. And I think, you know, when you have senior leadership, kind of like what Brock Hutchinson was talking about with wrestling with Bentley and Alex Wilkinson, and it's like, if you have that leadership, then the other people know this is what we do. This mm-hmm. is what it takes to be good. And K-State never gave up. So credit to them. They're now 9-6 in the conference. And Jerome Tang said after that loss to Oklahoma, we're going to need two more wins. Well, they got the two more wins, and then right after that, he's like, we're going to win more games this year. You know, that's just a tactic to get
out of
your
team. I do want to see them kind of – this is a game that if you are supposed to be ranked in the top 15 or so in the country, this is a game you should take care of. And I'll allow them to have the downturn, because like you said, every team in the Big 12 had one. So, but I want to see them build it back up and see if they can get on a run again before I really start to think about them putting them deeper in the bracket.
Yeah. So. And the thing is, like, this Oklahoma State's a team that a week ago we were talking as like the hottest team in the league, uh-huh. and then they lost two in a row, right? Like, right. It just shifts so fast for these, except KU. It shifts because KU always seems to do their bad stretch at the beginning of conference. Uh-huh. Like, even, you know, they've done that before. They've lost three in a row, but it always seems to be at the beginning of conference, and then they figure things out, and then we always say that. If you're going to catch KU, you better catch them early.
Yep.
And they did. K-State did the first time they played them, but Oklahoma State was the team. Oh, they're the hottest team in the conference. Not anymore. Sorry, Oklahoma State. You're just not there anymore. So it's interesting to see how that's going to play out against K-State tomorrow on ESPNU against Oklahoma State in Stillwater at 1 o'clock. So let's look at the schedule for tomorrow. Big 12 standings. Kansas 11-4, Texas is 11-4. And so those are the two right now that are fighting at the top of the conference. The 8th-ranked Longhorns are at the 9th-ranked Baylor Bears, coming up on Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning, I believe. I better double-check that. That might be a 1 o'clock tip-off, too. Yeah, that's a 1 o'clock tip-off. The other two games are at 11. But obviously this hinges a lot on whether KU can try to get an outright championship here. With Texas going to Baylor, Baylor's probably a favorite, I would guess, being at home. They're coming off the loss to K-State, though, midweek on the road. And so Texas gets Baylor here coming up tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And then the other matchup, other matchups, I should say, number 23, Iowa State at Oklahoma, or hosting Oklahoma, excuse me, at 11 o'clock. And number 24, TCU at Texas Tech at 11 o'clock as well. Hey, Texas Tech is that team, right? That's won four in a row. Right. So we're talking about Oklahoma State. Now Texas Tech is climbing. They've beaten West Virginia, so they're now in eighth after they started the conference season 1-10. They're 5-10. And Oklahoma somehow there's no problems with K-State. But everybody else in this conference they're losing to. They're 3-12, 13-15 overall. So it's still a jumbled up mess kind of in the middle there. But KU and Texas are trying to pull away from the pack here at 11-4. K-State, Baylor are both 9-6. Iowa State's 8-7. TCU, Oklahoma State both 7-8. Texas Tech, West Virginia both 5-10. And again, Oklahoma 3-12 in conference play. I would guess that 8, maybe they'll get lucky enough to get 9. If West Virginia would win tomorrow, I think that boosts their resume for sure.
Yes.
To possibly get a 9th team in. I think what's going to happen is these teams, unless Oklahoma State really falters, but if they kind of keep consistency a little bit, 1-7 are in the tournament right now. And then Texas Tech and West Virginia, obviously, will have work to do. If Texas Tech keeps winning, mm-hmm. it obviously keeps their resume right. boosted as well. And then you never know what's going to happen to the Big 12 tournament either. So you could get 8 teams and West Virginia decides, oh, we're going to make a run in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I don't think West Virginia is a team that would do that. Texas Tech, I would be more worried about making a run in the conference tournament, just the way things are going right now. So it's always fun to look at that, but it's not fun to look at this. Kansas,
yeah,
number one. Sorry, I know we carry KU on Z96, but I'm just a bitter case. But hey, what's fun about it, though, is like I'm not overly worried about the conference tournament or conference regular season championship this year because I know my team's solidly in the tournament right now.
Right.
And so you just focus on what you can and win the games you can. And I mean, it's fun to win conference championships, but the ultimate goal is to make it to the tournament and mm-hmm. be playing in early April to win a national championship. So that's where you sit right now as far as College Hoops Big 12 is concerned on the men's side. K-State women are back on the court Saturday at West Virginia. They're 16-12, 5-10 of the Big 12. They desperately need a road win for sure and probably need a win out to make the tournament on the women's side. West Virginia 16-10 and 7-8, tip off 5 o'clock on ESPN+. KU's back at home Sunday hosting red-hot Oklahoma State. They won 8 straight. They enter at 20-7 and 10-5 in the Big 12 in their first season under Hoxie native J.C. Hoyt down there in Stillwater. She's done an unreal job with that team, with the Cowgirls, getting them to 10. And Kansas is going the wrong direction. They're 16-10, 6-9 in the conference. It should be noted that one of their best shooters and players, Holly Kirschgeiter, has not been playing here recently for them. Kansas kind of falling down just a bit. They lost K-State by 18 earlier on Wednesday this week in the Sunflower Showdown. So KU and Oklahoma State teams tip at 2 o'clock on ESPN Plus Sunday at Allen Fieldhouse. Every time I hear the name J.C. Hoyt, and most people just think of a stud basketball player in the state of Kansas. She was outstanding. She played college. She was played at Wichita State. I want to say she went to – I can't remember where she went before Wichita State. Anyway, she ended up – she went to Wichita State, ended up at Colby for a semester. Didn't even play basketball.
Right.
She was at Colby for a semester, and then I think ended up at Fort Hays to finish her career, if I remember. I'm not 100% sure on that. But then she came in on Coach Mitty's staff at K-State, went to Kansas City for a few years, UMKC to coach, and then got this job in the Big 12 and just rolling with it. But when I think of J.C. Hoyt, I think of Hoxie, right? I think of when she was actually playing because I was far from her age, right? Like,
right.
So I had just graduated from college, and they were playing Trigo at the sub-state championship one year. And the rumor was that they had state written on the back of their knee pads. They'd already reserved motels in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And Aaron Locke and the girls at Trigo ruined their season.
Well, there you go.
You have to have the confidence. I'm not saying that you don't want to have that confidence and do all that. And I'm sure more than just – but they were pretty vocal about the fact that, hey, we're going to state. And then it didn't end up well. It didn't end up well for Trigo, though. I think I don't know if it was that year or the next year. They made it to state 2 years in a row. I think they had to play Shaley Lenning and Sublette in the first round of the state, and it did not work out well. every time I hear JC's name, I think of that. So, yeah, so K-State and KU women back on the court this weekend, and props to JC doing such a great job down there at Oklahoma State. All right, we wrap with this. Patrick Mahomes was listening to us yesterday. He was really, really mad at us for calling him out for not supporting his former offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to show these guys there in Glen Elder, Kansas, that you're wrong. I just been busy, man. Like, I just won a Super Bowl. Let me celebrate. I'll come off of cloud nine eventually.
Not Letterman's done, but
yeah. I know what you meant.
Right.
Whatever the other Kimmel.
yeah, whoever these shows are.
I don't know if he's Travis Kelce was on Fallon. Yeah. Which, again, Travis Kelce will be hosting Saturday Night Live soon, March 4th, I believe. Right. That's the right day. anyway, so Patrick Mahomes yesterday. It's funny because, so I'm going to play this first. Eric Bieniemy was introduced officially as the assistant head coach and offensive coordinator for Washington Commanders. And so, you know, obviously Shady had his opinions earlier this week, LeSean McCoy, when he played with Bieniemy in Kansas City for that very brief time where he rode coattails and won some games, right? Didn't get a lot of playing time because he just wasn't playing the right way and was fumbling the ball like he normally would do with the way he carries the ball. And so he had a take on what does Eric Bieniemy actually bring to the table and things like that. Well, Bieniemy responded to that standard response, but I'm gonna play it anyway.
LeSean McCoy is a future Hall of Fame runner. Okay, everybody's entitled to their own position, to their own comments and how they feel. When it's all said and done with, I think that's all I have to say, because he's entitled to his own opinion. That's life. Okay, you got good and you have bad, you know. It does not impact me in any way, because one thing that you learn when you're in this position, you have to learn to eliminate distractions. All right. My job is to focus on the now. Everything outside these walls has no impact on Eric Bieniemy moving forward.
I love speaking in third person. No impact on Eric Bieniemy moving. You are Eric Bieniemy. Hey, all right. So obviously, again, a canned answer, a standard answer. Like, obviously, he cares about it. He's a guy that I think has a little bit of pride and a chip on his shoulder all the time. But so that came out, and he talks about it there. And so then Patrick Mahomes on this comment retweets it. It came from Robert Griffin's Twitter. Patrick Mahomes says, "There should be no questions on how great of a man/coach Coach Bieniemy is. His leadership has a direct impact on the player/person I am today. 10-plus years learning under one of the greatest coaches of all time, and I cannot wait for him to continue to prove doubters wrong." Flex.
Right.
There it is. We're asking for it for Patrick Mahomes. I still think he waited too long. I think this was like, hey, Pat, say something about Eric that's nice on social media and put it out there. Okay. I think he believes some of what he's saying here, but not all the way.
Now,
quick thoughts on it.
Well, yeah, I think it's, you know, I'm glad Patrick said something, because it does, you know, for us around here that follow the Chiefs a lot, it does kind of leave something like, was there something going on?
Yeah, exactly.
So hopefully this maybe closes the door. But now that Patrick, you know, I know you're tight with Travis, can you to prove this right, to prove our theory that you're listening, get Travis to say post something.
To get him to listen.
We got 24 hours. Yeah. I think, you know, you guys were busy. We'll give Travis another 24 hours. And if he does, then it's just automatic that they're listening.
Yeah, that they're listening. Yeah, yeah. He doesn't need to do it. This is all you need. Like, Patrick Mahomes saying what he said is all that Eric Bieniemy needs moving forward. But, yeah, to prove that you listen to our show, get 87 to say something about Eric Bieniemy. Something nice, something positive. Give him some push there. And, do that. And then we'll know that you're listening. It's funny that we were just talking about it yesterday. And then shortly after that, all this comes out. And then Patrick Mahomes, there he is. There's also a tweet underneath that says, "Eric Bieniemy versus coordinators hired this offseason." Okay. That's fine. But it's the whole team you're playing, it's not just the coordinator, right? So the whole aspect of it goes into, and I know coaches might get too much credit for what a quarterback might do for their team. So, and I do think that this is still an opportunity here for Eric Bieniemy to prove what he can do without Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I just don't think that's the reason he's not been offered a job, and we've talked enough about that. As a head coach, I should say, offered a job. He's been offered plenty of jobs. Obviously, he moves over to Washington to be the Commanders' assistant head coach and offensive coordinator. So, again, Patrick Mahomes, appreciate you listening, bud. We love you here at the Sports Ticket. We hope you listen a little bit more. And, yeah, get Travis Kelce to say something so we can prove that you were listening to us on the Sports Ticket here on Kitty Country 94. Hey, that'll wrap it up for today. Again, State Wrestling Report's coming up very momentarily after the 10 o'clock hour, after 10 o'clock news, as Brogan Monty will be on the mat right away for Beloit. Again, 37-0 coming into the state tournament, so we'll keep an eye on him and eight other wrestlers at the state wrestling tournament here today. And then we'll have high school basketball tonight on Kitty Country 94, kittycountry94.com. Rock Hills at Lakeside with a doubleheader in sub-state action, 1A Division 1 first round. And then on Z96 Point through the lake, the Osborne boys are hosting Frankfort. That'll do it for today. You can always listen online at kittycountry94.com. The latest news online at ncksports.com. Thanks for tuning into the Sports Ticket. Have a great weekend, everybody.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.